On. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Good. All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We happen to be on Wednesday nights in between books, just like we are on Sunday mornings. And so I'd like to take those opportunities to see what the Word has to say about the Holy Spirit. It's always good for us to get back in that place where we're reminded about the things of the Spirit so that we can stir up the things of the Spirit. That's important. Paul talks about that in the book of Timothy, not to neglect the Spirit. He spoke, and we'll look at that tonight, if I can find my notes here. And he told Timothy not to neglect the Spirit and to stir up the Spirit. And that's, I think, good advice for us, to think about those things in regard to the Holy Spirit. We know John 4 said that the Lord is looking for such that will worship in spirit and in truth. And so there needs to be an openness and a balance in the way that we worship. God is looking for that. And we need to have an openness to the Word of God, that that's truth. Thy Word is truth, it says in John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. And there needs to be that in our heart. There needs to be that foundation of the truth. The church is called to be a pillar and a ground of the truth. That's the purpose of the church, and you need to understand that. That's our purpose, to teach the truth, preach the truth, not compromise the truth. And so there needs to be that, but it needs to be done in the power of the Spirit, because there's a difference between being Bible taught and being Spirit taught. There's a difference. And you can be taught the Bible by man, or you can be taught the Bible by the Holy Spirit. And that's really what you want. And you know that when the anointing of the Lord is on the teaching, it's the Spirit teaching you. So I always pray for that. Pray for the gift of teaching. There's a spiritual gift of teaching. I don't want to be up here giving you something from my intellect. I try not to do that. I try to be open to the leading of the Spirit. It'd be easier for me tonight just to go right into the book of Ezra. And that's really what I wanted to do, but the Spirit forbade me, you know, like Paul wanted to go up into the region of Bithynia. And he kept trying, I think, till the Spirit made him sick. That's my personal belief in Acts there in 17. And that's where Luke came onto the scene. He was a physician. I think Paul was sick. And he had a vision. Paul had a vision, probably had a high fever or something, you know, because he was bullheaded and he wouldn't listen to the Lord. So I didn't want to get sick. So I decided to try to do what the Lord was leading in. And sometimes you don't know. You have to do it by faith. So we'll see. You know, when we get done here, we'll see if it was the Lord. But open your Bibles, and I'm going to just read the first 10 or 11 verses there. And you know these, but it's good to go through it again. 1 Corinthians 12. Let me pray real quick. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit and you would teach us and guide us the truth of the Scriptures. And I pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you'd be present and there'd be that balance in our heart to help us grow up in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Dumb not in the sense that they didn't know anything, but they couldn't speak. Those were the kind of idols that they were worshiping. It's interesting, we serve a God that you can't see, but you can hear. Idols, you can't hear them, but you can see them. You know, that's interesting. And Paul's kind of bringing that out here. You were serving these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I'd give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean a man can't utter the words, Jesus is Lord, if it's not by the Holy Ghost. It means that he can't say it and mean it. It won't have any life on it unless it's prompted and anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, and we know that. There's not just one gift. There are different gifts, and they're diverse. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. Now that means the same gift can be used in different ministries. You can use the gift of teaching as a pastor. You can use the gift of teaching as a Sunday school teacher. You can use the gift of teaching as a parent. And so there are different ministrations of these gifts, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. Now that means the same gift can be used in different ways. You know, I think about the gift of exhortation. And with some people, the gift of exhortation is you come alongside them and put your arm around them and encourage them. And in other people, kind of like David Wilkerson on certain days when he's really yelling, you know, it's like a boot in the hind end, like, get going, come on, you know. Same gift, but different operations. And so Paul brings that out here. And he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now, these gifts of the Spirit, and not just the possessing of the Spirit. He doesn't say that the giving of the Spirit is given to profit with all. He says the manifestations of that. Now, you have to receive the gift before you can manifest it, but you can receive it and not manifest it. And of course, we know from Romans chapter 8, we manifest the gifts by faith. And I want you to think about that, because that doesn't happen in the church a lot of times. The gifts aren't being manifest by faith. And that's very important. Why is it important? Because it's the manifestation of the gift that's given to every man to profit with all. To profit, to build up for the good of the body. The spiritual gifts are not given to cause division. Unfortunately, they do that sometimes. That's ignorance. But they're not given for that reason. You read the rest of the chapter, it's a lot about schism, about division. They're given so that we don't get divided. They're given to keep us together and to build us up and to keep the darkness away and so forth. And so he says, then he lists some of them, not all of them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, notice this, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So there's different spiritual gifts. We know that. And the same spiritual gift can be possessed by two different people, and they use it in different ministries, still the same spiritual gift. The same spiritual gift can be possessed by two different people, and they can use it in two different ways, but it's all God, and it's all given by the Spirit. And the Spirit gives these gifts, notice, to every man, that means every human. Every one of you here right now, the Spirit's desiring to give you spiritual gifts, severally, not just one, more than one, and not as you will, but as He wills. And so I encourage you to open your heart to receive those spiritual gifts, because they're a help that God wants to give you to accomplish the ministry that He's called you to. Sunday, we looked at many in the last days church will believe in a form of godliness, but one without power. What's that look like? It's a nonprofit church, you know? And that's a play on words, but it's a church that's not operating in the gifts. There's no power there. There's not an openness to the Holy Spirit. It's become an intellectual work. The Spirit is not free. And I'm not talking about emotionalism or hype. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about power, real power, supernatural power. In Zechariah, it says, not by might, not by power, and that means human power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Spiritual power. The church needs it. You need it. I need it. God wants you to have it. The Spirit wants to give you these gifts to empower you to live for the Lord and to do what God's called you to do. And He will give them to you severally. And then you have to learn about them. That's why we're studying this tonight, so that you can manifest them by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's why we're here. That's why the Lord has us here. They're very important, these gifts. And I want to emphasize that one more time. The Spirit gives, He divides them to every man severally as He will. So you can't say, well, I don't think I have any gifts. No, that's not right. The Spirit wants you to have them. You might not know what they are. You might not understand, and you might not be manifesting them, but they're for you. You're not the one person that isn't qualified or, you know, gets off the hook. I think sometimes people don't want to have to go to the work of learning how to move in their gifts. And so they just say, well, I don't know, or I don't think. Well, now you're going to know, and now you're going to think, so that you can use those gifts. You should not want to be without your gifts. You shouldn't. That should be something that you're concerned about. You know, you should want to fulfill your ministry, and you should want the gifts of God, all of them that you can have. Now, it's the Spirit that gives them as He wills. But that doesn't mean it's wrong to pray for them or to seek those giftings. Paul talks about at the end of this chapter he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. The only thing in the entire Word of God that we're encouraged to covet, it's the spiritual gifts. You should want these. They're valuable, and they are very helpful. So it's good to know that. Now tonight, we're going to focus in on just one gift. And, you know, I just love the Lord. He's so wonderful. He leads me to these things. We're going to do the most controversial one, probably. The most divisive one, and that's the gift of tongues. We're going to look at that gift tonight. I believe that gift is the least understood and the most misunderstood. There's a difference, isn't there, between being not understood and being misunderstood. And I believe this gift is at the first of the list in both of those categories in reference to all the spiritual gifts. And it's important, you know, to consider that, because in verse 1, we just read it, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning the spiritual gifts. And that word ignorant, it doesn't mean lacking intelligence. That's not what it means. It means you don't know. You've not been informed. You've not been given that information. Paul wanted them not to be ignorant. He wanted them to have the information, because he knew the importance of the gifts, and he wanted them to possess them and manifest them. Now, as we look at this, I'm just going to kind of throw out some questions or some statements, and then we'll examine those things in regard to the gift of tongues. One of the first things that I want to address is the question, are tongues for today? Are the spiritual gifts for today, specifically the gift of tongues? There are those people that believe and teach that the gift of tongues, or all of the spiritual gifts really, are no longer needed in the body of Christ. There are those individuals that believe and teach they're no longer available to the body of Christ today. Some time ago, I heard a very popular TV evangelist, and he's a pretty good guy. If I said his name, you'd know him. And I heard him teaching, and he said this. He said, I have never spoken in tongues, nor have I ever felt the need to, nor do I believe the gift is available today. And my heart just sank for reasons that you'll see as we go through here. And the thing is, there are many other Christians that feel that way. Not only that feel that way, but are in that same position. They've never spoken tongues. And then many don't feel they need to, and some don't believe that it's available. And I don't feel that way. I don't feel any of those ways. And I'll tell you why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 4, Paul says this, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That's a very important scripture. It tells us a whole bunch about the gift of tongues right there. But the one important thing that I want you to focus on right now is that there is one self-edifying gift, and that's it. Remember, all the other gifts we saw in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 are given for the profit withal. The spiritual gifts are given to you to, so that you can use them in the body to profit the body, to build up the body. And what's the body? It's other people, to profit them as a whole. Every other spiritual gift is given for that reason. But there's one self-edifying spiritual gift. And Paul brings it out here. It's the gift of tongues. There's just one. It's a self, that word edify, it means to build up or to strengthen. You know, if my kids were growing up, I would always, and still do when I think of it, I'd say to them, hey, have you prayed in tongues today? And if they said no, I'd say, why do we pray in tongues? And they'd say, because it makes me strong. And I taught them that, and they were just saying what I would teach them to say. I know, but I wanted that programming in their hearts. Not just in their minds, but in their hearts. It's important. It's a self-edifying gift. It's important to stir it up, to practice it, and to make you strong. It's given to edify self. Now, self, not in the sense of the flesh, that's not what Paul's speaking about, but in regard to the believer as a whole. The Spirit has given this specific gift to build up the believer that uses it. Did you know that? That's what the gift of tongues, one of the main uses. It's not the only use, but it's the main, one of the main, to build up the person that manifests it. And for me, that's enough reason. That reason alone is enough reason to make sure that I or that we are not ignorant concerning it. It's my desire that this body of Christ would be as edified as God would have us be. I would be really concerned if I stand before the Lord and he said to me, you know, you didn't teach these things, and that body that you were, I called you to lead, they weren't as edified as they could have. I do not want to hear that. You know, so I want us to consider these things that do edify us. I think it'd be good for us to hear it again, or maybe some of you to hear it for the first time, and to hear it in a way that we could understand it, so that we aren't ignorant. Now, there are those individuals, as I said, that argue that the spiritual gifts are not for today. They believe that they were given to edify the early church, that just when the church was beginning in Acts chapter 2, that they needed the gifts at that time to aid them in developing the church. But once the church got developed and spread, the Spirit is now not giving those gifts because the church is established. There are those, I don't believe that, but there are those, and you may have been taught that, you may have heard that, that's why I pointed out. Those individuals that believe that, they point to scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13:8, and it says, charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And they say, see, there it proves it. Tongues have ceased. And yet it's interesting to me that none of those individuals that I'm aware of that hold that position would say that prophecy has failed or that knowledge has vanished away. You see, they're taking it out of context then, because it says prophecies will fail, knowledge will vanish away, tongues will cease. So if you say tongues have ceased, prophecy went with it, and so did knowledge. And none of those individuals that do not, that I'm aware of now, that believe that tongues is not for today, when they get sick, don't want people to pray for them to be healed. And so you see, there's an inconsistency there. In Scripture, is picking and choosing. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Why? Because you will not be as edified as God wants you to be. In context, What Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 13 is not that these gifts are not for the church or they're not for today or that you can't have them any longer. Rather, what he is saying is some things are eternal, and that's love. And that's 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter is about that. Love is eternal. But some things are not eternal, because we won't need them in eternity, and those are the spiritual gifts. Yeah, there's coming a point where we're not going to speak in tongues in heaven, because we won't need to be edified. You're in heaven, for goodness sakes. You know, you're going to be as built up as you can possibly be. There isn't a need for that gift then. Not that it's bad in any way. It's just not needed. Spiritual gifts won't be needed in eternity, because we will be in the presence of the Father and the Son. There will be no division and no opposition. And so, on the subject of the gifts not being available for the church today, that thinking, really, it's based on the opinions of men and not on Scripture. You will find no Scripture that will really point out unequivocally that the spiritual gifts are not available, and that you can't, that God somehow suddenly changed his mind at some point and they're not for today. It says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that in regard to the gifts. He gave them then, he's giving them now, he's going to continue to give them. And so we need to understand that. One of the distinctives that we have as Calvary Chapel, and I really don't like that phrase, because it could be construed as self-righteousness, or, well, these distinctives that we have as Calvary. And I don't mean it that way. But one thing as Calvary's that is distinct with us, as opposed to many of the other churches out there today, is that we believe the gifts are available for the church today, all of them, and they can all still be manifest. I believe that without a doubt. And I think that in the 20 years I've been here, I've seen all the gifts not only possessed but manifest, every one of them. I used to say, everyone but the gift of miracles. And then I realized, well, the fact that God called me to be the preacher, that's a miracle. So I don't say that anymore. You know, I've seen them all. You've seen it? I think I have. And I'm thankful for that. But I think that we need to continue to stir the gifts up more. The gift of prophecy, we might look at that. I don't know. I can't remember. 1 Corinthians 14, I think verse 2, says it was given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Man, you show me a church that doesn't need that. You show me a person in a church that doesn't need that. Man, do we need that? Just think, if we don't have prophecy and we leave that off, edification, exhortation, and comfort, we're missing it. We're missing the power of God in that respect in our lives, because we've decided to listen to, you know, this big shot on TV that said the gifts aren't for today. And we're not reading the Bible and being led into the truth, and having our hearts stirred by the Holy Spirit, so that we don't come to believe in a form of godliness, but one without power. I don't want that. I don't want to have church services that are hyped up and all emotional. I'm not saying that. But I want the power, all of it that we can have. And I want it for you. And I hope you want it too. We should, because we need it. Man, the church has lost a lot of power today. Don't you think, in general? I'd like to see us get that back. I'd like to see our light shine brighter and brighter and brighter till the end of time. Because Jesus is coming, isn't he? He's coming, man. It's got to be close. You look at what's going on in the world, I can't even believe it. Yeah, I used to say to people that were like 80, did you ever think that it could happen, things could change this fast? Now I say that to kids that are 10. Would you have ever thought, you know, when you were 5, that it would be like this when you're 10, you know? And it's like that. And that's the whole world. It's not just this country. And the way things are going, we got to be getting close. We're closer than we were yesterday. Amen? And so we need to be about the work of the ministry, and we need this power to do it. So we believe the gifts are available, and they're to be manifest and expressed within the body in a manner that is consistent with the guidelines of Scripture. That's really important, because I've been in churches that were manifesting the gifts and it was out of control. And that turns people off. That's not what God's looking for. We want to see, Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Very important. I believe in that. And that's my heart for us as a body. And I believe that's God's heart for us as a body. The gift of tongues was foretold by the prophet Isaiah, the coming of the gift. In Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12, we read this, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.'" Now you can read that verse and you say, well, how can you, you don't know that speaks of the gift of tongues. He's talking about stammering lips and another tongue, but how can you say that speaks of the gift of tongues? Well, I'll tell you how, because Paul says so. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 21, he quotes that verse. And because of the way he quotes it, he's talking about the gift of tongues. We know that that's what Isaiah was talking about. It was a prophecy concerning the gift of tongues. If you would just read the book of Isaiah, you wouldn't know that. You'd wonder, what is that, you know? But Paul tells us it was a prophecy, and that this gift was going to be poured out on the church. And through Isaiah... Now, I want you to think about this in regard to the gift. We know that the giving and the manifestation of this gift, it's a restful experience. He says, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And so the gift of tongues can be used by the person that possesses it. Remember, it's a self-edifying gift. It can help the weary to rest. Any of you get weary? You've been weary lately? Weary of life? Weary of the battle? Weary of the monotony of life? You know, the Native Americans, they taught that there was this cycle to life. It was a big circle, you know? And they thought that was wonderful. I think it stinks. Mondays keep coming. That's the circle of life, you know. I do not rejoice in that. I struggle with it. And so does everybody else, man. And you know, hard times, hard seasons. And that so would the Indians if they would have thought about it. But they didn't think about it because they were blinded. But that circle of life, it's not a good thing. And you get weary just living life. Everybody does it sometime. Just trying to get through the day, trying to, you know, do the job that's before you, whatever it is, to get to work and to get home, to get up, and then to want to do it all over again every day, 5 days a week, you know, or to raise your kids and go through this and have to deal with, and you get weary. And here Isaiah is saying, hey, here's a gift that's given to help the weary rest. And this is the refreshing. You think about refreshing, you know. They make these great pop commercials that are, you can hear the fizz, you know. And you see the ice cubes and the spray, Sprite, you know, or whatever it is. And oh, it's so refreshing. And you get thirsty just looking at it. And so you know what it is to be refreshed. It's to be made fresh again. And boy, that's something we need in this life. See, God made it that way. He lets our batteries run down. Why? Because he wants us to look to him. The problem is, When ignorance comes, we're not studying the Scriptures. We're not opening the Scriptures. We're not open to the Scriptures. And we say, thanks, Holy Ghost, I'll take it from here and teach it my way, you know. And then we're not teaching about the gifts anymore because they're not popular and they cause controversy and people look funny at you because you believe these things or whatever. You know, I was at a conference several years ago, and one of the speakers there was an Assemblies guy who's from the Assemblies of God. And I was talking to him about the spiritual gifts, how my topic at that conference had to do with the spiritual gifts. And man, he just liked that, you know. And he told me, you know, you think the Assemblies of all churches are teaching about the spiritual gifts. And he told me that the Assemblies of God, they were moved away from teaching about the Spirit. And maybe not every single church, but as a denomination, they were moving away from that. And I was like, no way, I didn't know that. And I said, why? He said, because it's not popular. They're going, as a denomination, they're going more user-friendly, you know. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what he told me. And I don't doubt it, because Satan doesn't want Christians to be empowered by the Spirit. He knows if you get saved and you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and you start moving in the gifts, you are a real threat. And so he does everything he can do to keep that from happening. And so this gift was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Now it's interesting, in Mark 16, Jesus said in verse 15, he told the guys, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. He's talking about the gift of tongues. These are the signs that are to be present within the church. Jesus wanted the church to have the gift. And he wanted it to be present within the gift. And it should be. It should. These signs should follow those that believe. If you believe, there they are, you know. Now, there are those that do not accept these certain verses in Mark chapter 16, the last part of Mark 16, and they'll say, well, we don't accept those because they're not in the original manuscripts. But that's not true. We don't have any of the original manuscripts. So nobody knows if those verses were in the original manuscripts or not. Now, what we have is copies. And the two copies, the oldest copies of the Greek manuscripts known that we do have, don't contain those verses. But when you look at those two copies, the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus, they are crummy copies. They are crummy copies. Unfortunately, all of your Bibles, the New Testament portion of your Bibles, except for the KJV, is translated from those two copies. One of those copies was found in the trash can of a monastery in the Sinai Peninsula. The King James Version is a translation of what's called the majority text. And a guy named Erasmus went around to a lot of monasteries. They weren't Catholic in the sense that they are today, but it was the Catholic Church at that time. Catholic means universal. And he went through all of their manuscripts of the New Testament, and he took the ones that they were using to preach the gospel, and he compiled these. He made it his life's work to compile all these manuscripts, and he kept sorting them down till he came up with what's called the majority text. You might have heard that. That's the manuscript that was used for the King James Version Bible. That's probably the main reason that I still read the King James. There's a good reason behind it. When you look at, a lot of people will discount it, but that's the truth, and I can show you that I have that documentation. So to say that those verses in Mark weren't in the originals, you can't say that. They were in two of the earliest copies we have of the manuscripts, but those are bad manuscripts. What we do know is that there are historical documents from early church historians that date back 100 years earlier than those two manuscripts, and they contain these verses in Mark 16. And so it seems that these verses very likely were in the original text. Now, in Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there, the gift of tongues was first given to the church on the day of Pentecost. Verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord with one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And it means that was their baptism with the Holy Ghost. "And they began to speak with utter tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, as you read the rest of that passage, these other tongues were languages that the speakers had not been taught. These guys didn't know these languages, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. They were filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. They were given this gift, and they went out and they began to speak in these other tongues that they didn't know. But there are others there at the Feast of Pentecost, Jews from every nation under heaven on the earth. And they heard these men speaking in the languages that the speaking men didn't know, but they knew. These were their languages. And they couldn't believe it. And at first they thought they were drunk, you know. Look at Acts chapter 2, if you're not there. And this is typical of the gift of tongues. "Oh, you guys are drunk, you know." You gotta get back there. It says, and look at verse 12. When they heard them, it talks about all the nations they were there from in verse 9 through 11. And they heard them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying to one another, "What meaneth this? What's going on?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." You know, these guys are drunk. And Peter, now here's the product of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Peter, that's been afraid for his own life, right? Just a few days ago. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and of all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And I'm not going to go into that. That's Joel chapter 2. It's about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the giftings of the Spirit. And keep in mind, that's when the church began. The church didn't exist when Jesus was on the earth. That was not the church. That was disciples following Jesus. But he left. He ascended into heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit back. That's when the church started. And when the church started, these gifts were given to profit everybody in the church. In Acts chapter 10, at the house of Cornelius, in verse 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed," the Jews that were there, because at Cornelius' house, they were Gentiles, "they of the circumcision which believed, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Gift of tongues. Acts 19, in Ephesus, in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Well, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, well, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. That's EP. We looked at that Sunday. They were already believers. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. The gift of tongues is one gift. It's denoted in different ways in the scriptures, but it's all the same gift. In some ways, it's called speaking in tongues. In other places, praying in tongues. It's called unknown tongues, diverse tongues, or new tongues. It all speaks of the same gift of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 2, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mystery. So in 1 Corinthians 14, we find that phrase, unknown tongue. It's actually used 6 times in that chapter in different verses. The word tongues is the Greek word glossa, and it doesn't mean an appendage in your mouth. It means languages. The adjective unknown is added. That's why it should be italicized in your Bible. I don't know if, you know, the other translations have it that way, but it should be because it's added. And it's added, but I believe it's correct because it gives the proper understanding. Usually they should italicize that word so you know it's added. But I do believe it's correct because that's what Paul is talking about as you read it in its context. It's an unknown tongue. It's an unknown language, a language not known to the one speaking it. The gift of tongues, then, is a supernatural language given to the believer that is unknown to them. In verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Unfruitful. That means I don't know what I'm saying. I don't intellectually understand the language that I'm speaking in. If it is a spoken language, it is a spoken language when I speak in a tongue or pray in a tongue. I speak it forth. And it is a language that may or may not be known unto men. There are different languages that it can be spoken in. In Acts chapter 2, we see that it was spoken in a language that men understood. But in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, he says, if I speak in the tongues, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. So in reference to tongues there's a it could be your prayer language. When you pray in a tongue, you could be speaking in an earthly language that other men could understand. You might be speaking in an angelic language that other men cannot understand. And so it is with the gift of tongues. Now, because this gift requires the speaker to speak in a language that he does not know, this is a gift that's very hard for some people to accept and to receive. Very hard, because it takes faith to manifest it. Pastor Chuck Smith had this to say about the gift of tongues. He said, speaking in tongues is extremely difficult on the human intellect. In fact, our intellects rebel against uttering sounds that we do not understand. It is an affront to the intellect, and this is why very many people sincerely declare that they do not see any reason or any purpose for the gift of tongues. Why should I speak to God in a language or a tongue that I myself do not understand? It's an insult to the intellect, and thus it is understandable that a person would feel that way. However, if God has given a gift, there must be something worthwhile in having the gift, else why would God give it? I personally want to be open to whatever God might want to do for me in order to enhance my walk with Him. I desire to be everything that God would have me to be. And I desire to have everything that God would desire me to have. I do not want to close any doors to God. I do not want to say, God, I want everything, but maybe not that. I just want everything that God knows is necessary and good for me. I don't want it to close any doors to what He might want to do in my life. I see the gift of tongues as a covenant between you and God. That by faith, you or me, I am going to utter certain sounds that I do not understand. But I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to prompt these sounds so that they are a language of praise and worship from my spirit unto God. And although I do not understand them, I trust the Lord that He will understand these sounds. And I will be praising Him and thanking Him and worshiping Him. And it will be the expression of the Spirit and my spirit unto God. It is a complete act of faith. And for that reason, our intellect rebels against it. This is why so many people have a problem with the gift. It requires trust. But it's also a confession of my intellectual limitations. I don't have an adequate vocabulary to express the extreme joy and thanksgiving at the abundance of His grace that He has manifested to me. I often find that words are inadequate. End quote. So Pastor Chuck said all that. I often find that my words are inadequate. If I pray in an untoned tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And so when you pray in a tongue, you will not understand what you're praying. It's strictly by faith that you pray, trusting that you are praying according to the will of God, even though you don't understand what you're saying. You must trust the Holy Spirit to prompt the sounds. And the Spirit will prompt the sounds in the sense that He will suggest to you something to speak, and then by faith you speak. But you have to speak. You have to take that step. I know an individual some years ago, we were sitting in council and we were praying and talking about the gifts, and this person said, I will never speak in tongues until God makes me speak. And I thought, well, then you'll never speak in tongues, because God will never make you speak in tongues. The gifts are manifest by faith. You have to trust God and just begin to utter, and the Spirit will help you go on from there. It's just the way it is. And you think, well, that's crazy. Well, I understand why you would feel that way until you read the Scriptures. And it points out that that's the way it is, and that God has something for us in this gift. And that's what we're going to look out at now. Why would I want to do that? Why would this be important? Well, the Bible speaks of four different purposes for the gift of tongues. The first one is to assist in my prayer life. Okay, we're going to talk about your prayer life now. Y'all have a prayer life? Y'all have a good prayer life? Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to maintain a good prayer life. Well, here's some assistance. Here's something that God has given to help you. Nobody stood up and went, oh yeah, I got a great prayer life, man. Okay, well, here's assistance. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to God. You see, some people will talk about a message in tongues. No such thing as a message in tongues. He who speaks in a tongue, he does not speak to men. That's prophecy. You thought that was a message to men? That's not a tongue. That's prophecy. That's spoken to men. He who prophesies speaketh unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. See, it's a prayer language spoken unto God. It says, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. When I speak or pray in an unknown tongue, I'm not speaking to men, I'm speaking to God. It's a prayer. The prayer that's not led by my intellect. You see, in the spirit I speak mysteries. Now this is where you lose a lot of people. The issue of not praying with the intellect. It bothers a lot of intellectuals. But Paul is not advocating a clearing of the mind. He's advocating supernatural praying where the Holy Spirit is guiding my prayer. Romans 8:26 and 7 says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our infirmities, for we know not what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, most of us are pretty aware that our intellects are limited. I'm aware of that. Because my intellect is limited, my ability to pray is therefore also limited. I, a lot of times, and you might too, have trouble finding the words to say all that's on my heart. Just getting it all out, getting through it all. I have trouble with that. But you see, this gift can allow us to overcome that limitation by allowing the Spirit to direct our praying according to the will of God. Do you ever not know how to pray? How do we pray? You know, how should I pray about this situation, this person, you know? How do I pray about this individual? Man, I'm struggling. I don't even know how to pray. Well, here Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit can do it. He'll do it for you. He'll help you pray according to the heart of God. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that something that would be nice to know that you have? It's a gift of tongues. Now, it's not that my intellect is not at all involved, but rather I choose to pray in a tongue. Yeah, I can choose to pray in a tongue. I can choose not to pray in a tongue. It's something that you do voluntarily with the will. The Spirit doesn't make you, so your intellect is involved. But when I choose to pray, I don't understand the words I'm saying. I'm not really choosing words that I know. I'm not choosing words that I know. Instead, I speak by faith, and I allow the Spirit to lead me in this. Now, again, for this reason, there are those that would argue, well, that's nothing but gibberish. And I would agree with that if it were not for what the Scripture says. And because of what the Scripture says, by faith in that, I do not believe it to be gibberish, but prayer in an unknown language directed by the very Spirit of God, a gift from God to help me pray for things I don't even know that I need. There, again, given both sides, there are those that believe there is great potential danger in this practice and that it is possible that as one would seek to pray in a tongue, if that person is not careful, a demon could become involved, you know, because you don't know what you're saying. And instead of praying to God, you could be moved to pray for the devil. I think that's what was being said in the first part of 1 Corinthians, which is why Paul starts that out as he does. In verse 3, he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So that's not going to happen. You can have faith as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ that when you seek to speak in a tongue, you do not need to worry that you could accidentally be praying to Satan or praying against Jesus. By faith, as you manifest this gift, you can trust God that the Spirit of God is overcoming your limitations in prayer. The Spirit is praying for you, through you, according to the very will of God. Now, with this gift, you can give unhindered prayer. Unhindered prayer to God. The Holy Spirit is praying through you perfectly, according to the will of God, so that as you pray, you can unburden your soul before God in a way that is not otherwise humanly possible. I love that. I love that. That's not even my words. I don't know who it is. I read it somewhere. But it's true. As you pray with the gift of tongues, you can unburden your soul before God in a way that is not humanly possible. And so it's a wonderful gift to have in your personal life. So it's given to assist you in your prayer life. The gift of tongues is given to help you worship God. 1 Corinthians 14, 16, and 17. Paul says, "Else when thou bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For verily thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." So his argument there is, if there's not an interpretation, somebody that comes along, you know, or if it's done in a church service, won't understand. But I point those scriptures out to show you that this gift can be used to aid you in your worship of God. He talks about blessing with the Spirit and giving thanks with the Spirit as you're praying in a tongue. I tell you, I often find it hard to do that, to adequately express my praise and thanks. You ever have God do something for you, you know you just didn't deserve? You know it, and he just blessed you. And how do you really give him adequate thanks back for something like that? Well, when you pray in a tongue, you can do it. You can just pray and pray and pray. You can express worship and thanks and praise in a way that's not limited by your inabilities. The third reason to pray in a tongue is to edify oneself, to build you up in Jesus Christ, to make you strong. 1 Corinthians 14:4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself." It makes you strong. As we have seen, when I pray in it's the Spirit praying for me, praying according to the heart of God, things that he knows that I need, issues that I might not see, things that are coming in the future. It's just a wonderful, when you think about it, to be able to pray in such a manner. Now, I think this is the reason. In 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul said, "I would that ye all spake with tongues." I wish every one of you spoke with tongues. That's what Paul says. In another place, in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, "I wish you spoke with tongues as much as me." Paul spoke in tongues a lot. So praying in a tongue edifies the believer. It makes him strong. Now, in case you didn't know this, as believers, we are in a battle, a raging battle, not against God, but against the forces of evil. Now, we know from Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, don't we? He said in Ephesians 6, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." See, we're wrestling. You are wrestling as a believer of Christ. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ must endure hardness. You're going to go through, you're wrestling. You're fighting a fight, whether you know it or not, or you're being fought against, at least, whether you know it or not. We wrestle against the enemy. The enemy is wrestling with us, battling, fighting, trying to get you to give up ground, to retreat, to fall back, to run and hide. And these attacks are relentless. And it can wear you out to the point that you feel like giving up, giving in. You feel like all your efforts are useless. What's the use, you know? You don't know what to do. Satan knows how to get you to that point. He knows how to weaken you. He studied it, or at least his minions. He knows how to get you into the realm of the flesh. Because if he can get you operating in the flesh, you are absolutely no threat to him. Ever have that happen? He got you in the flesh? Oh, man, I don't like to think about that. Okay, let's move on. But it's true, isn't it? He can get us in the realm of the flesh. And when he does, we're no threat at all. In the realm of the flesh, that's where we give up the good fight of faith. And we end up just going through the motions, but there's no power. There's no real fight in us. And this is another reason that we need the gift. This is why there's so much controversy surrounding the gift, so much division, so much ignorance and misunderstanding, because he who prays in a tongue edifies himself. It makes that person strong spiritually, and Satan does not want that. And then the fourth reason, we're not going to get into that tonight. It's very difficult to understand, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20 through 25, that it can be a sign to unbelievers. That's a difficult passage. We're not going to look at that tonight. We could look at it later. We could talk about it if you want. Guidelines given for the use of tongues. Let me see here. Yeah, I think we can get through. I don't have a lot left. When we look at the guidelines given for the gift of tongues, we find that there are no guidelines given for its use in our personal prayer life. You can pray in your personal prayer life, driving down the road, sitting in your chair, sitting at home, no guidelines. You can pray in tongues as much as you want. You can pray in tongues like crazy. You know, an interesting thing, because it bypasses the intellect, you can drive down the road and listen to the radio and pray in tongues. You can do it because the Spirit prays. See, I'm not saying you should, but you know, sometimes if you're wanting to learn to operate in the gift, that might be a good thing to try. You know, focus on what's being said on the radio and then just pray in tongues and trust the Spirit that whatever it is that's coming out, you won't know what it is. If you do know what it is, that's not the Lord. It's not the Spirit. And that's where a lot of people hang up. They never start uttering. They try to wait to say something they can understand. It's never going to happen. That's why most people that don't have the gift that want it don't get it. That's really why. And some people get really frustrated and they just quit and they give up because they feel like either I'm not sure this is real or I'm the one person that can't get it. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We'll touch on that. There are guidelines given for public use. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 28. In the public gathering, it says that there can only be two or three tongues given, and they must be interpreted. And it should not be disruptive. You know, you might have been at a church where the pastor's preaching and somebody stands up and starts speaking in tongues. That's not proper use of the gift. It's not following the guideline. I believe it's important to make a note that while Paul made an allowance for the public use of the gift, like in church, I don't believe he encouraged it. In 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19, he says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all, yet in church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now because of that, we choose here not to really practice the gift of tongues in the public service. Or at least, I can't say never. We have had it. And it was according to the guidelines. It was interpreted. And, you know, someone got mad and left the church and because they are ignorant. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's true. But for that reason, we don't make it a habit of practice. And you know, if that person wasn't willing to look at the scriptures and be open to the gift, it might have been better for them to go somewhere else where they wouldn't be divisive, you know, or they'd be comfortable. I don't want anyone to leave. That's not my point. But I also don't want to have to hide what we believe. You know, I don't want to offend anyone, but the truth offends. We know that. It divides at times. And so, but we want to be careful. You know, if I speak in an unknown tongue and don't have love, I'm not worth anything. And so because of this, we don't often practice it in the public service, and yet we're to open it, we're open to it, but we don't want to keep anyone from coming because they're uncomfortable with the use of that gift. I feel that way. I feel strongly about that. Again, now here's the question I want to ask. Do all speak with tongues? Do all speak with tongues? 1 Corinthians 12:28. It says, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Now, the answer to those questions are obviously no. That's a no-brainer. But notice in regard to the gift of tongues, it doesn't say have all, it says do all. Not can all, but do all. Now the reason I bring that out is this: there's only one self-edifying gift. Does God only give that gift to some people? You know, you have to make that decision for yourself. I'll tell you personally, my opinion is no. My personal opinion is that God only gave one self-edifying gift, and therefore he did not just give it to some people. Now, do all speak with tongues? No, they don't. But can they all? My personal opinion is yes. Then why don't they? Because of unbelief or ignorance. That's why. Like all spiritual gifts, it must be manifested by faith. And herein lies the big stumbling blocks to the opponents of the gift. It must bypass the intellect. And many people cannot get past that. How do you receive it? Then, how do you receive this gift? Well, I recommend if you want the gift, that you ask for it through prayer. You ask God to give you this gift. It's a good idea to have the elders lay hands on you and pray for this gift for reasons that we saw in several places. Acts 19, Paul laid hands on them, they got it. Acts 8 or 10 at the house of Cornelius, you know, they didn't lay hands on there, but they did in 19. And so I think that's a good place to start. Have the elders lay hands on you and pray for you. And if you don't get it right then I encourage you to go home and get alone with God and by faith begin to utter as the Spirit gives you utterance. And when I say that, I mean that literally, and that's where most people trip. They wait and 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 they wait. You're not going to speak with tongues. You have to begin to utter. And you have to do that by faith. It doesn't mean you're an idiot. It means you've looked the scriptures over and you've made a conscious decision to trust God in this. And listen, it's not that you trust the Spirit to cause you to begin to utter. There's no faith in that, and you will not speak in tongues in that manner. You have to begin to utter and to trust the Spirit with the rest. Now, if any of you here are confused about that, or you get confused about that, or you have questions, please visit with me. Because personally, in my own life, when I began to really seek the things of the gifts of the Spirit, I got tripped up right there, and for a year, I just went away from the things of the Spirit. Because I got confused, and I was ignorant. I didn't have good teaching, and some of the things I was taught were not true. And the other thing was, I was relying on something that you should never rely on in regard to the gifts of the Spirit. You know what that is? Feelings. Don't rely on your feelings. The gifts are manifested, and they're received and manifested by faith, not by feelings. So often we're tempted to look to our feelings to manifest or to gauge the authenticity of an experience. And I would say feelings are not faith. Now, feelings can be of God. God can give feelings, and I'm all for that. But sometimes he doesn't. And he just wants you to walk by faith and trust him. And in the regard to this, more often than not, it will be that way. So as the Spirit prompts you to pray in tongues, just be aware that you may be challenged by your feelings. Feelings of doubt, beware of that, because feelings are not of faith. Now, that's just a lot of information, but we're not ignorant anymore, amen? You might be drowsy, but we're not ignorant. And I want to close with this. Now, because our study this evening, I know it's a potentially volatile one, I think it would be good if we all remember that whether or not we agree, whether or not our opinions line up, more important than that, than any gift or any opinion, is love. That's more important. I read it before, I'll read it again. 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity," that's love, "I'm like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Worthless. So let us walk in love. Let that be first and foremost in our heart. If you have the gift of tongues, great, use it. Don't neglect it. Stir it up. Build up yourself. But remember, it does not make you any more spiritual than anyone who does not possess the gift. If you do not have the gift of tongues, and you want it, seek it. If you don't want it, fine. That's your prerogative. You are no less spiritual. You are no less necessary. You are no less a part of the body of Christ than someone who does. But again, if you desire the gift and you don't have it, I encourage you to ask for prayer. And if you get it, great. If you don't, get alone with the Lord and seek him, and speak as the Spirit gives you utterance. And if you're confused, come and talk to me, because I've been there, and I bet I know what's wrong. Don't give up. If you haven't received it and you want it, don't give up. Nothing is wrong with you. God is not withholding it from you. You just need to engage your faith. Close with two scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:14. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." That's the elders. Neglect not the gift. That's why I say to my kids, "You've been praying in tongues? Yeah. Hey, don't neglect the gift, you know. Yeah, why do we pray in a tongue?" Now, if I ask you this, you need to know the answer. Why do we pray in tongues? It makes us strong. Amen. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 1:6. "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which was given thee by the putting on of my hands." Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this information, the truth that sets us free and makes us strong. I pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts and our minds, and that you would lead us closer and closer to your heart, Lord. Thank you for this gift, not just this one, but all of them. Thank you for this gift, though, in that it's given to make us strong, Lord. And I pray that none of us would be neglecting it. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to stir it up, and we wouldn't forget to do it. And our faith would be strengthened as we look at the scriptures to think, what can be accomplished through this gift that you've given for this church to edify us, given the whole church, the true church. And I pray that we would speak in tongues as much as Paul. But more than that, I pray that the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, would exude from every person in this body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stir up the gifts. Don't neglect them. Trust in the Lord. Don't rely on your feelings or your understanding. Stand fast on the Word of God, and you won't go wrong. Have a good week.